Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, the long and short of our show, we've got one, two, three, five shows. One series finale in The Walking Dead. So I know the girls are going to be talking about that for a while. I might even pipe in a couple comments. We have Peripheral, more Manifest, Andor, and the season finale of the last two episodes of AHS, which changed quickly. And look, my co-host Karen is here. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you? How was your week?
Good.
That's great. Jamie's going to be here in a minute. It's a big night. It's a big night for us tonight. It's a big night for everyone who listens to this podcast because you will never have to listen to me complain about The Walking Dead anymore after tonight. It's not about this version of The Walking Dead, right?
Yeah.
We've got the series finale this week. I feel kind of free.
So, now when you say you feel free, does that mean you will not be watching spinoffs?
I guess I can talk about that with Jamie. On the one hand, I don't really want to watch the spinoffs because they just don't seem that interesting to me. On the other hand, I don't know. Even though I hated The Walking Dead so much for the last few years, I sure whined about it a lot. It was such a big show with still such big viewership that it felt like we should keep talking about it on this podcast, right? But I don't know. The Walking Dead franchise is really, what more is there really to show us in these? Rick and Michonne is only six episodes.
I get it. If you guys were to watch Rick and Michonne, I get that. That's kind of a no-brainer. If you went this long, the six episodes to find out what's up with Rick. But I know how much you guys love the idea of Maggie and Negan.
Oh my god.
And then you got Daryl on his own.
I know, and as much as Daryl has been a fan favorite character and a favorite of three of ours, really, I feel like the show lost so much for me when Melissa McBride dropped out of it. A Daryl and Carol show would be a whole different ballgame than watching Daryl in France. The adventures of Daryl and Carol could have been really great. Daryl, I don't know. I like Daryl, like Norman Reedus, but he's going to be in France. It's just preposterous, right? I don't know.
I heard that they leaked that the premise of the show is he wakes up in France and doesn't know how he got there.
Yeah. I don't think he even knows where he is. He wakes up in Europe and doesn't even know where he is, right? And I guess at some point must encounter some people who don't speak English, and don't know, but the premise is that he wakes up and doesn't know where he is and doesn't know anyone and doesn't speak the language, and turns out to be in France, which who knows how it's going to happen, because he was last seen in the series finale, he's last seen riding his motorcycle out the gates of the hilltop in search of, adventure, right? without Dog. Dog was not with him. I guess Dog's not going to France.
I guess all these customs, has to get in quarantine,
I know, right? It has no rabies tag, has no proof of his rabies shot. It's kind of amazing that what started out, as this show, The Walking Dead show, has had already three spinoffs, and we'll have three more spinoffs next year, right? Three more? Three more. I mean, it's like a whole channel.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
It's a whole channel of just The Walking Dead. How can this little comic book that ran, 170 issues spawn 7 television shows? Of course, they're not all of quality or involve the comic story at all, but
well,
it's kind of amazing. It's pretty incredible, but yeah, I guess, I don't know. We'll see. Rick and Michonne, yeah, I see, like, put some closure on those two characters, maybe. I don't know if you've seen, I know you don't watch The Walking Dead. It did have a little, like, it ended with a little, basically, the last scene of the episode was basically a trailer for the new show.
Yeah, excuse me. I read about the whole Rick thing. And I also read that they tried to make it up to Chandler a little, since I guess he stopped by the set and they were like, hey, do you want to be an extra in the background?
Yeah. Yeah. Greg Nicotero directed the finale and Chandler Riggs showed up and they were like, hey, put on the hat, grab a hoe, go be a farmer in the background of the last scene here.
Yeah.
Which was kind of
Don't worry,
cool,
nobody's going to recognize you because, you know, you're a lot older now that since we fired you. For no reason.
Yeah.
After doing you dirty.
Yeah. Since we killed you for no reason, even though your character is basically the main guy of the end of the comics. Crazy. I don't know if Jamie said she'd only be a couple minutes late, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if we should maybe jump onto something else while we wait for her. Let's talk about Andor, which we can dissect.
I was just going to say that.
Okay.
Yeah. Artie gets mad at me every week because every week, like last week, is the only time that I enjoyed watching the Andor scene. This week, kind of boring again. And not for nothing, actually, it wasn't that bad though because Andor was only in like 5 minutes of his entire show.
Yeah, he was barely in it, and all he did was.
Oh.
I mean.
And there's Jamie.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's put a pin in here and come back to it. Hi, Jamie.
Yeah.
How are you?
We'll get back to that.
Sorry about that. My interview
That's
ran
okay.
over a little bit. So hello.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Tired, but otherwise okay.
Oh, all right. Before we do Walking Dead, do you have any announcements about the site or anything? I just need to mute you guys for a second while I talk to my dad here for a second. Maybe you could do your site announcements for a second while I do that.
Okay, I'm trying to think what I'm mostly just catching up with everything right now. There isn't as much because it's, Thanksgiving weekend. I just did Jack Ryan Roundtable yesterday, and now I just talked to Director of Mammals, but I think that's, at least so far, that may be it for the week. I don't normally get to say that, it'll give me some time to catch up. But, yeah, that's one good thing if I get some time off.
So I just posed this question to Karen. Do you plan on watching all the spinoffs of The Walking Dead, or are you just doing Rick and Michonne and that's it?
Well, I will probably watch them just because I will probably cover them and do the interviews. Mm. So I'll probably watch them. Would I otherwise? I'd say I'd probably give them all a chance. I don't know if I'd keep watching all of them, but again, I don't hate it as much as Karen does. I don't get quite as annoyed with some of it. But I'm curious to see what happens. And the finale was really good. I actually liked it. So we'll see what. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I am going to get the rest of the pictures from Christian and Christian. I don't say her name right. I know I don't. And I'm going to put them up so at least people can see them because she went to the finale for us. And also Sarah wrote up the review for the finale. She just sent it to me today, so I haven't had a chance to get it up yet. But that will be going up. Oh, and I put up the Christmas movie interview I did. Not that that interests you guys, but. I did do that today.
I'm back. Did Christiane, did she like get to like see the red carpet with the stars walking in?
Yeah, but I don't think they really, like, I don't think there was any like crush.
Interviews or
you
whatever.
Know what I mean? Like, I think it was all just a fan event thing. She did take a couple pictures of them on stage, though.
Yeah.
And I'm going to post the rest of that. But I don't think there was any, like, press access or anything, or they would have told me about it ahead of time. But,
Yeah.
But it would have been fun to go, but, you know,
that's
not
cool,
exactly
yeah.
nearby. So, but hopefully she had fun. I haven't really gotten a chance to talk to her much about it yet, but hopefully she had a good time.
You know that I'm not a huge fan of Talking Dead, but I have to agree with, you know, Chris Hardwick in his weekly gushing over the show and the stars. He's not wrong when he said, look, shows don't get to do this. Like, when's the last time you heard of a show that had, like, a sort of a live event for its season finale? I mean, I know it's just all within the AMC bubble of hyping its own stuff, but still, right?
Most of them wouldn't have that, yeah. I know they did mm-hmm. for Lost. They had something. Because I remember, I hadn't even thought about it until you said that. It's been forever. But I remember they had some kind of live thing in the movie theater, like it was as it happened live, like Q&A or something.
Oh, yeah.
Near the
yeah,
finale.
Yeah, yeah.
I went.
Yeah.
I remember going. I was like, oh, we went to see it. I remember that. Not a long time ago. But, yes, usually finales
yeah.
don't get that.
Yeah.
Then again, usually they don't have a finale and are still planning to come back, so they have to advertise more, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the point, but no. But that,
yeah.
And I like that they had a lot of the actors that haven't been in it for, you know, a long time were there or at least came on and gave messages and that kind
yeah.
of thing. So it was
yeah.
a good Talking Dead for the most part, although they revealed absolutely nothing about the new shows, but...
Yeah.
I mean, not that I expected them to, but there was, like, kind of no spoilers. So, I guess, do you want to talk about the finale first, then? I figure we'd probably
yeah,
be Walking
let's,
Dead
let's,
first.
Let's jump into it.
I feel like I haven't enjoyed an episode this much since that one with Connie, and this maybe even more so. I mean, it was a really good episode. I really liked it. I wish they would have put some of that into the rest of the season, you know?
Yes, there were parts of it that I really like. There are parts of it that I... So I think it was a good hour of The Walking Dead, and I totally agree with you that it's like a... we haven't enjoyed a lot of episodes in the last couple of years, and there was a lot... It was tense. It was action-packed. It was a really
yeah.
good, like, season finale. To me, it does not feel like an adequate... Like, the whole season, to me, was just not an adequate ending for the program.
No. But for a last episode, I mean, to some extent, a last episode, they can't in one episode wrap everything up and do everything and make everybody happy. But I think even as a series finale, I mean, it ended okay for me. I don't feel like there's anything – the only thing I would say that I feel like was missing is I was kind of disappointed because – not that I necessarily cared that Andy Lincoln came back or anything, but I was hoping that, like, he would come back and be reunited with Judith. Like, that was kind of the one thing I hoped they would at least do. And the fact that they didn't – I mean, I guess it's possible in his series he could still see her again, but, like, probably not because it's not about that.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my main – I mean, I understand it, but that was, like, my main thing I would have liked to have seen that wasn't in it. But, I mean, otherwise, it had pretty much everything. I was surprised there was only two deaths. There was a couple red shirts. But, I mean, there was Luke, and there was Rosita. I like
yeah,
how
well,
they – no, in the comics, she was dead a while ago, right? Because she had a head on her – wasn't she one of the ones that got her head on a pike? In the comic,
yeah, Alpha
am I
killed
wrong?
Her and put your head on a pike. Yes, Alpha killed her and put her head on a pike in the comic book.
I don't quite – I mean, I don't know. I'm not an actress. I haven't worked, you know, done a job for that long. But I don't quite know that I understand an actor on a show like this saying, hey, kill me, when they know there's spinoffs and they could have more work. But aside from that – I get what she
yeah.
was saying about kind of the character having closure and stuff, and I think that they gave her a good ending. Like, I liked the way that they did it. She's obviously the only one they've done that to, but she got what,
I mean,
you know, they don't usually get. She got to say goodbye, and I think
yeah.
that they handled it well. I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible Kristen Sarandos wishes to work outside the Walking Dead universe and doesn't want to play
Rosita
for the rest of her life, right?
And that's fine. She doesn't have to. It was kind of surprising when she said that to me. But yes, they don't necessarily want to have the same job the rest of their lives either. It was a good send off. Sorry, go ahead.
We've talked many, many times how the tension has been drained out of this season by the announcement of all the spinoffs and, like, all these characters with plot armor who can't die. Like, we know none of the children are going to die. They're not. Although, you and I both, over text, were like, holy shit, Rosita and Coco, like, fell off and were eaten by zombies. And, like, if they did get eaten by zombies, like, that would have been a ballsy move. I would have been okay with that, right?
Yeah.
If Rosita and Coco got eaten. Like, that would have been...
Yeah.
It
was definitely a moment that you're like, you didn't know what was going to happen. Like, I at first was like, there's no way she's not going to get away. She's holding a baby. And then she falls in it. I'm like, oh, my God, they did it. You know, and obviously they didn't. And the way that she got up was crazy, could have never happened. But it was a cool moment.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it was
the way they filmed
it.
It was a
little bit like Glenn under the dumpster, that you're like, he has to be dead, he has to be dead, and then he's not dead. And, like, there's no way Rosita – it was like Wonder Woman busting out of there. It was like she was a Marvel superhero busting out of there. And it was kind of an awesome moment.
It's beyond me. But let me ask you a question, and I probably should rewatch it to find out. I meant to, and I forgot to. Did she fall on the ground on the walkers? Because at least my memory of it, there was like she fell onto the ground and they, like, jumped on top of her. But maybe
I'm
remembering it wrong. Because I understand that she got bit. It makes total sense she got bit. But if she fell on the ground on her back, how did she get bit on her back? That's the part I don't understand.
Maybe she fell, like, onto a cushion of walkers, like a bed of walkers.
She might have.
And
that
would explain how she didn't break her back and smash her skull the ground. She fell, like, from the second-story window, right?
That's true. But there's no way she could have gone out without getting bit. But I like how they did it and how you didn't know it till after, and it was just kind of like, it was completely different than anything they've done before, at least.
No, it was a little bit of a throwback, because I feel like in the early days of the show, people would get bit and they would linger for a long time. Like, remember when Andrea's sister died and, like, she stayed by her side through the whole night until she died in the morning? And remember that other guy, I can't remember the guy's name, who, Jim, I think was his name, who got bitten, and he asked them to leave him by a tree by the side of the road, and he was, like, 12. People would go, like, 12 hours or longer before they succumb to the bite. And then in recent years, they get bit, they croak, they turn immediately, right? And so Rosita was, like, a bit of a Rosita was, like, 24 hours at least, right? I mean, they cooked the whole Thanksgiving dinner and sat down and ate it before she died.
I didn't even think about it being Thanksgiving until they said that after. And I'm like, oh, that's true. That's kind of cool. I like that they did that. There were some good character moments. Like, I said to you, the thing with Maggie and Negan, I really appreciated that scene. I don't know that I necessarily feel – everything's 100% earned with him, and we've talked about this a lot on the podcast. But I appreciated that she's kind of like, you know, I don't want to be, you know, however you want to say it, like, don't want to be devoured by hate. She doesn't want to hate him because she doesn't want to be like that, and she doesn't want to remember Glenn the way she does. But she's still like, I can't forgive you, and this is why. And he actually did seem, for the first time, to me, to seem like the character felt remorse. I did appreciate that scene. Like I said, I don't know that it's 100% earned. I don't know that I 100% buy that she would be willing to work with him the way she does. But that's just something, it's like in Falling Skies with Pope being a rapist. You just kind of got to get over it if you're going to watch the show, you know? But I do understand, I think it was acted very, very well. I mean, I think it was done really well.
I thought Lauren Cohan did good work in that. I thought it was a good scene. I thought it was like some well-written, pretty for this show, it was well-written dialogue. I agree with you. It's not believable that they would even have this conversation. I appreciate her articulating, you know, what she lost. I like the part, as you said, where she's like, every time I look at you, Negan, I see Glenn, like, with his head smashed, and I hear him calling my name, and I just can't even look at you without remembering that, and, like, she really hasn't articulated that.
Right. But she also doesn't want to keep hating him because she doesn't want to be that. You know what I mean? Like, she wants to be able to let go of it, but she can't completely. So
part of what I don't accept about Negan's transformation is for him to have recently they've positioned it as though now that he found Annie and she's pregnant, like, he understands
more. It wasn't even
more.
In the episode, which was weird.
I know. But
they had a name Annie on that wall with the dead people. I don't think she was supposed to be dead, but they didn't even have her in the episode.
No, I assume the spinoff is him looking for her. But I think, to just finish what I was going to say here, the idea that he has found Annie and now he appreciates what he took away from, like, Maggie. Like, I'm sorry, he had a wife and he lost his wife. And he sort of will see it. Like, he totally appreciates what it means to, like, take someone to lose your spouse. Like, what the hell?
He said that to her, I understand what you went through. That comment I didn't like, because he just now understands what she went through? I agree with you. Like, that part's a little, yeah. But it is what
they
it
just
is.
Make,
either way,
they
I
just make Negan,
good.
Yeah. I feel like there was also the moment that you and we don't want to belabor this too long, but the moment with Pamela, where she's going to let Hornsby bite her so she can die, like, totally not believe. There's no way Pamela Milton, like, doesn't want to live and isn't already scheming for how she can escape. That she would, like, have Hornsby, like, try that shit, like, didn't really ring true to me either, right? Although Pamela, she's a different character.
Yeah, but I do think, and I said that they did make that comment. Negan made, I think it was Negan, made that comment something like that for her to, I'm pretty sure it was him, said something like that for her to go to jail or whatever, that was worse than death
for people
like
that.
Like her.
Yeah. To lose her power. I think he said to lose,
what?
Like, losing her power is worse than death, right, is what he said, I think.
Yeah.
She's not quite so overtly evil in the comic book. Like, the comic book, I feel like, and I haven't read this part of it in a long time, but I feel like the rot at the core of the Commonwealth is more subtle. And the comic book is a little more about, like, how a thing can look really good and have, like, evil under the surface. It's more subtle. She's not, like, such a, like, derangedly, like,
she's not, like, sending the walkers after the other people to protect her house.
She's really, really a little bit worse than this. Overall, I would say that this episode, I mean, it's not one of the greatest finales of all time. And, you know, I don't mean, like, you and me and AJ. I mean, we, the community, like, are still arguing about the Lost season finale for over a decade now. Like, that's an episode that maybe didn't logically all make sense, but I cried and cried and cried, and I had such an emotional catharsis watching that episode, right? Like, I don't cry about that, partly because half the characters have new TV shows. Like, how much better would this have been if they do this episode and we didn't know anything about the spinoffs, and then you see the trailer with Michonne and Rick? That would have been mind-blowing, right? Or then you see a trailer, or then they announce at the live event that Negan and Maggie are getting a show, right? Like, it would totally change our opinion of the season finale.
Yeah, and the thing is they aren't going to – I don't know if networks – and again, this is – it's not just The Walking Dead. It's not just AMC. I mean, we do have to say that. It's not, like, just them that do this. But I have to wonder, like, do you really think that people, if they like the show, aren't going to find out about it and aren't going to watch it? Like, the people that are going to watch it are going to watch it whether you tell them now or whether you tell them after. You're not going to, like, gain thousands and thousands of new fans by telling them ahead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if they're going to watch it because they're a fan of the show, they would have found out. So I never quite understand why they do that. But all the networks do that. It's just AMC has a lot of different shows. So it happens a lot.
Yeah.
But I agree. It would have been much better.
Yeah. So for me, the worst part of this episode is, like, almost the very last thing Maggie says. Like, they're all hanging around the hilltop, and it's all coming back to life, and everything's great at the hilltop, right? And Maggie says, hey, you guys, there's a lot of new stuff out there in the world, and it's time we should, like, explore and see what's out there or whatever, right? She says this very poorly written, awkwardly stupid line that I feel like is a total setup for the next episode. I just for the next series, right? Like, I felt when Maggie said that, you guys, it's time for us. There's a lot of us to, we need to be in touch with what's out there. Okay, first of all, like, aren't they now part of, like, Melissa, Ezekiel is the mayor of Commonwealth, the governor or whatever, right, with Mercer as his backup, and Carol's his, like, chief of staff, and Eugene was there. Like, they're totally still connected to the Commonwealth, a town of, like, maybe not 50,000, maybe only 40,000 now, but whatever, right? Like, like, they're not a cloistered community that doesn't know what's out there, but the idea that Maggie, I don't know, I thought that line was kind of shoved in there to, like, set up the spinoff, and I didn't really, like, after what they've been through, it's hard to believe Maggie would ever leave Herschel ever again, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's kind of why I would have liked to have at least seen a reunion of the characters, you know, like even if something happened after that they left. But I mean, there were some good moments. I don't know. The other thing that I think was good and bad is, like, okay, I liked the scenes with Carol and Daryl. I thought that they were emotional and I appreciated it.
That was great.
The fact that,
great,
he left without her, I don't like. But I mean,
well, I assume that was rewritten
when
she decided not to participate in the new, right? I assume that was rewritten when she chose to not participate in the new show.
Right. So I don't know I kind of question, though, if maybe they're planning to have her at some point or if they're just trying to keep fans' hopes up.
No.
Because there was that line where she said something, I forget exactly what she said, but something like, it's not like you're never going to see me again. Now, was that to make fans be like, oh, my God, she might be in it?
No.
Or was that like, really literally, she might be in it?
No, I assume that means she's going to have other work and do other things. And I mean, could she pop up in the Rick and Michonne movie if they come back to Hilltop at the end? In the Rick and Michonne series?
I don't know.
I mean, I can't blame
Melissa
McBride.
But she said
that to Daryl.
It makes me wonder if it was just to make fans happy and think she's coming back.
Maybe it means
I don't know.
They're like great. Maybe it means they're great friends in real life and they have dinner once in a while, right? Like maybe they're pals in life.
No, I mean she said it to Daryl, not to the actor. I mean she
said it
like, as
No. I mean, I think Daryl leaves intending to come back, and somehow he gets kidnapped to France. Like he totally thinks he's coming back. He's not like I'm going to France. Bye. He's like going out on a little, you know, patrol or whatever.
Yeah, they can find people really easy in this show. We know that. So he intends to find them again down the road.
He was just going back. He was leaving Commonwealth and going back to Hilltop, and intended to maybe come back to Commonwealth again someday and see her.
Oh,
or
that's
she
where
come
he was
and visit,
going.
Like,
Hilltop. I didn't see. I didn't know. I'll be honest. I still get confused where everybody is. They were at the Commonwealth, and then suddenly they were at Alexandria, and I was like so confused that they switched locations.
Maggie's the mayor of Hilltop. Maggie's the mayor of Hilltop.
Yeah, but they're at Alexandria now, aren't they? Hilltop's gone. I thought it was Alexandria.
Well,
where that post 22. That's how much I understand. I don't know. That's the problem.
Well, Nicotero said it was Hilltop where they shot.
It might have been.
Camera rig.
Saying,
anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where they were. It doesn't really matter. But
no.
So then we should move along. We saw the trailer for the new Rick and Michonne show, which really didn't tell us anything, except, again, like, this is another person that I find it really hard to believe that Michonne left Judith and.
Yeah.
And
I totally
RJ. I find it hard to believe that Daryl would never go to Europe intentionally and leave Judith behind, right? I just don't understand all these parents who just, like, leave their kids all the time in this, like, really dangerous and scary world.
I agree. Although I can usually accept that just because I'd rather usually the kids not be in the show.
Yeah.
So I get over it quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be fair, though, I like Judith. I mean, if she was in one of the shows, I wouldn't mind. I don't dislike her. Like, she's not like a little baby, you know. I mean, she has purpose in the show. She wasn't just, you know, there for that reason. So that being said.
Yeah.
But anyway, there was a lot of good. I liked the thing with Daryl and Carol. I liked the scenes with Rosita and Eugene. I mean, I even liked with her and Gabriel. You know, when she clearly told him at dinner and, like, the kind of look you know, he gets, like, he has to accept it. And I think him, you know, giving her her last rites or whatever, I think that was last rites, wasn't it? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I think that that was, like, really, I mean, there was a lot of, in my opinion, really emotional moments in the show. Now, granted, I cry really easy at everything, though, so I can't always base it on if I get emotional. But I think there was a lot of emotional things in this episode. What was I going to say? I forgot what it was. But, yeah, I agree with you about them leaving. I know what I was going to say. The one thing I did like that I didn't even think about until he mentioned it on The Talking Dead and I had said it to you was the fact that they had Gabriel go full circle because he let them in. He was the one that opened the gate. And I thought,
yeah, that was cool.
That was actually really smart, and I didn't think – it didn't occur to me that, yeah, it started with him, keeping the people out of the church or whatever, and it ends with him letting the people in. So that was pretty cool. I liked that kind of symbolism.
That was.
But all the things they did, there was, like kind of things that were weird. Like, for one, I don't know if and not that it really matters, but I was like, what the heck? Whenever – I can't even think of her name. Alpha's daughter, Lydia. I don't know if
Lydia.
She was supposed to have had, like, some kind of, like, thing like the one from Fear the Walking Dead does or something, but she sure acted like she had an arm the way she moved. Maybe they just didn't film it well. But
no,
I almost wonder if they made her some kind of apocalyptic.
That was something I found a little, her arm, they chop her arm off. It's still daylight when that happens. The sun goes down, and now she's, like, standing up with her arm in a sling. Like she had her arm chopped off with no – they, like, sawed it off with a machete with no anesthesia, and now she's up fighting by the end of the day, right? Like, it was a little bit of a very impressive – she's a very healthy and fit woman, I guess.
I guess so.
That she
–
and then they – you know, the show went out of its way to – then save Elijah, which, you know, I see Lydia get kind of a happy ending, I guess. She's, like, been through it, that kid, right? And it was nice.
A lot.
Although she's not a character that I was most concerned about.
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
And they brought Luke and Jules back
really
just to die. But
I'm sorry, what?
But then
they brought
also Jules and Luke and Jules came back just to die.
Oh, yeah. But I was just going to say, it was funny, though, what she said on The Talking Dead about saying she doesn't know what a good relationship is, but Lydia does it.
Yeah.
She's, like, talking about Alpha, and she's like, and then Negan, and I thought that was funny. But I agree. Did I really necessarily care she got a happy ending compared to some of the other characters? Maybe not. I mean, I don't half the time even remember who Elijah is because he's hardly ever in there. They just, you know, bring them back. But there is a lot of characters. It's hard to keep track of them all. It's the same thing with, like, Magna and
Yumiko.
Yeah, I keep wanting to call her by her real name. And Yumiko. Like, I guess it's good it's good they got a happy ending, but I hadn't even really thought about it until they got their happy, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't even think about it. I did like Eugene. I did like that Jerry was safe. Although they really didn't show too much like that. And I did like Eugene's ending with, like, him being married and having a baby and them naming it Rosie. I mean, it was a little sappy, but I liked it. I mean, I thought it was cute. And I like how they ended it with
So it was only
Ezekiel
was only one year,
Mercer taking over.
Yeah. It was only a one-year time jump, and I don't know, AJ's probably tuned out. The comic book is a lengthier time jump at the end. Like, but anyway, yeah, it was, I mean, it was fine. It was way better than it was tense. It was good. It was better than we both expected. And it's fine, and I'm satisfied enough with how it ended. And I don't really feel like I have to watch any more of these shows. Like, it's not, if you choose not to watch any of these other shows, it's fine. There's not a big question that you have to watch the next show to have understood, right? Like, you can watch No More Walking Dead ever again as long as you live and be fine with it, which is great because that's how a lot of people feel right now.
I mean, I am looking forward to seeing Rick and Michonne, though, just to find out kind of what happened. No, but you're right. You don't have to. You can still get a complete story. I would like
before you got here. Before you got here tonight, AJ said exactly that. AJ is like, are you going to watch all these shows? And I was like, I really don't want to or care about them, except maybe, like, you know. And AJ's like, look, Rick and Michonne, it's only 6 episodes. I could see you'd watch Rick and Michonne to, like, kind of see where 2 legacy characters go and how they're going to wrap that up, right?
Yeah.
I do wonder.
I think these are all short series, though. I mean, I guess they could be extended.
Rick and Michonne is only 6 episodes.
Right, but I think even the other ones, I think they've only been picked up for so many episodes.
No,
I don't think
you cannot trust AMC. The original Walking Dead was only 6 episodes. 6, I think, that first season. And now
it's
seven
too.
Shows. So you cannot trust those motherfuckers, whatever they say over there at AMC. American Michonne is 6. I don't know what the other two are. I don't think Rick and Michonne will go longer because Danai Gurira has a skyrocketing career, and also Andy Lincoln has a lot of other stuff that he does also, right? And I don't know that either one of them tend to continue to play these characters. Quickly, we really need to move along. We've gone on for a long time.
Yep.
Quickly, Rick is barefoot. Why do you think Rick is barefoot walking in the mud through all that? And then he takes his boots, right? He takes his boots and puts them in the pack when he throws it onto the boat. He puts his phone and his boots into that pack and tosses it. So the serum won't get
I don't know, but that's how she found it, right? I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, she ultimately finds it up there on that, right on that boat, and she finds the phone. But, like, why is Rick walking around? Like, I'm like, at first I was like, why is he barefoot? Even if you lose your shoes, like, there's millions of zombies, and or just walk into a house and get some shoes, right? Like, why is he, I don't know why. He was purposely going barefoot in that mud. I don't understand that. Like, that remains to be seen.
I don't know. Yeah, no, wasn't it somebody, let's see, I got to go back and listen to captions. I was talking or texting on Twitter with Regis. He was saying something about Michonne mentioned Rick's brother. I clearly missed something and need to go
back. I'm not aware of Kevin. I'm not aware of him having a brother.
Because something about she said, at least I think that's what he said. I got to go back and read the text.
Well, he's always called Daryl
about
his brother, but, I mean, that's the only thing we really learned because – the Michonne scenes were not very interesting. She's just, like, riding around on a horse, like, wandering around looking for her. Nothing really happens to her, right? Except she reads from her diary, Rick reads from his diary, nothing happens. We see Rick has been, he's wearing a CRM jacket. So definitely this whole next thing is CRM.
Yeah, it implied that he ran away from the CRM and was being recaptured. I would say that's how I took it.
Yeah.
So.
So.
Maybe the shoes had trackers on them.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe.
All right.
We should wrap it and move along.
Yeah, we should. I will say though, I will be putting up Sarah's review, and I know her other ones are really good, so people should check that out. I'm gonna try if I'm awake enough to do it when this is done. I'm so tired.
Okay.
But
all right. And
anyway,
AJ is gonna chime in here. It sounds like.
Yes, AJ is gonna chime in. So they got to Alexandria, what, season 4?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, got season 4.
Yeah,
okay.
I think 4,
so
right? They got there after Beth was killed, around the time Beth was killed, right? Because that friend of Beth's was going to Richmond, and that's what brought them to Alexandria.
So between season 4 and 5, I recall Jamie saying, I'm getting kind of bored. I hope they move on soon. I hope they're not here too long because clearly they don't stay any place very long. It is now season 11. 7 years ago, Jamie said that. 7 years later, they're still in Alexandria.
I remember when she said that, AJ and I were like, oh, okay, Jamie,
Yeah. They never leave. I mean, yeah, they branched out a little at the end with the Commonwealth and everything. But Alexandria is still
really
their home.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys know ahead. You read it, so I did not.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Well, free at last, at least for a while.
So, peripheral or manifest?
Peripheral.
I don't care.
Do something.
I'm going to have to remind you
shorter.
What the episodes are about. Oh, the peripheral, though, was the 6th episode, right? So you're caught up with
6 episodes.
Yes, episode 6.
Yeah, the sixth episode.
That's what I said. It ends with the three of them going in there, right?
Yeah, the three. Now have three peripherals.
Okay, yeah. So it's been a while since I've seen it, but you're caught up with me, so I can't spoil something accidentally. I just might forget what happened. I remember, I know, this episode is also about the detective comes in, right? I do remember this episode.
Yes.
Because it's very bizarre.
Yes. That's why they have. That's why they all end up at the end, because the detective wants to meet them.
Yeah.
Detective.
That's right. He's in. I was thinking he was in her time. He's in their time. You're right. This was a weird episode. It seemed to. Is it just me, or did it seem like it sort of changed tone a bit? I don't know. It was so different to me.
Well,
not
to me,
in a bad
it felt
way. It was kind of weird.
To me, it felt like a pause as they moved players into place for the next, maybe piece of action. I felt like this was a little bit of a setup-y kind of episode as people moved around a little bit. I don't know. We've been all talking. AJ, how did you feel about that? Did you think the tone was different?
I agree with Karen that it's one of those episodes where they're moving the pieces around the board for the next phase of the story. One thing I got to say is I was right that about last week when we see Alita's kind of backstory a little bit, her ex-girlfriend there, the doctor that Charisse killed, was totally responsible for Connor. Because last week I was like, that kind of looked like Connor that got blown up. I was like,
yep, you said that.
But it was done in a way that you kind of thought it looked like them, but you weren't really sure. And then they start that episode with this, and I was like, son of a bitch, I was right. I was like, oh, Connor. I wish she was still alive so Connor could fuck her up. that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
I was like, they need to send Connor a body back to 2038. Have him, you know. And then it's funny, later in the episode, after I think this to myself, what's his name? Burton shows up with those legs, and I was like, you know, that's nice and everything, but that still ain't good enough. I was like, they need to do better.
Yeah,
that's funny because when I watched it, I was like, holy crap, Jamie has to watch an episode with a dog that has a bomb sewn into its belly. There's no way.
Oh, I did not like that at all. But regardless of the dog that I was upset about. I think that whole thing, the whole point of that scene, though, was just so much cruelty, just, the fact that they're basically, just playing with these people. I mean, and it makes me think about how she had, and I assume that it's maybe in reference to that, but how remember in the opening, they have, all those little white, not chess pieces, but, the little people. There's, a recreation of their house and everything.
Yeah.
It makes me think about
that. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Because that's essentially what they're doing, is they're taking people in the past and just fucking around to see what happens. At least that's how it made me feel. They're just playing with them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's horrible.
Yeah.
I found that really hard to watch, not because of the dog, because of Connor and everything else. It's just...
Yeah.
I thought that was in 5. Was that in 6? I couldn't remember which one that was in.
No. And actually, in this episode, who's the character, the woman with the heavy Scottish accent, the Asian-looking woman, the woman of Asian descent who has a very heavy Scottish accent, who is Lev's. There's a scene where the new detective... Cho Chang. There's a scene where the new detective, whose name is Lee Ledbetter, whatever her name is, she asks, why do you call it a stub? And Lev is, dancing around, why you're calling a stub? And she jumps in and she says, imperialism. And, what? And she's like, look, if we call it a stub, it makes it easier for us to not think of them as,
as real.
I'm paraphrasing. But she's basically saying we don't think of them as a legit, timeline and legit people if we call them that, right? Isn't that essentially what she was saying?
That's how I took it.
And because I've wondered the same thing. Why do they call it a stub?
That's why it's so crazy. I said that's why it's so crazy that he's totally down with killing versions of himself and people in his family, and it's they're real. It's crazy. But, yeah, you're right. That is kind of what she was saying.
Yeah,
well,
they've gone out of their way to...
He says there's only enough room in the universe for one of him. And if they find more Stubbs, then he's going to kill them, too.
He's going to kill them, too. Yeah.
You know, as far as they're concerned,
yeah.
They feel like they're the prime. They're the only one that matters. Meanwhile, that's not how this world is set. You know, this story is being set up. And poor Tommy. That guy, they just got to bring him in already. I mean, bring Tommy in. He can handle it. He's already figuring shit out by himself, you know. And I understand Burton being, you know, distant with him and being hard on him, trying to keep him safe and whatnot, but bring the poor guy in. He can handle himself. He just survived an invisible car running into his cruiser that flipped over 16
times.
Yeah,
I wish
we
saw him more.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I like the detective, though. The detective's cool. I like her.
She's very interesting, right? She's a really interesting character, and it was surprising to me the degree of power that she had. Like to see Lev say, listen, girls, don't lie to her. First of all, you probably feel like you can't lie to her, and she knows everything anyway. And she's so confident. Like, Lev is such a dangerous person, and she's not at all intimidated by him. She's so confident. Like, I didn't really think
intimidated by her.
I know that Charisse last week described the power structure, you know, the three-pronged structure, which is the Research Institute, the Metropolitan Police, and the, what are they called? The organized crime are called the, not the coins. What are they called? Anyway.
I don't remember, but we know what I mean.
To describe, but I hadn't really thought of the police as an equally strong part of that, you know, like, we've just seen such strength out of, like, organized crime and out of the research. Like, it really was a little surprising to me to see the police come in with such, she comes in with such kind of force and maybe is the, I mean, she's definitely more powerful than Lev, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lev's treading very carefully with this person. That kind of surprised.
AJ, your phone is so damn loud.
Sorry, that was me. That was me. I'm sorry.
Oh, is it? Okay. No, I figured
that was my phone.
One thing I found interesting was to find out there aren't quite as many people as we thought there were. When they made that reveal that a lot of the stuff you see is just kind of like, it's basically they have, you know, images of people around just to make it not so sad.
That's what I thought, you guys, I was referring to before when I kept saying you didn't see how the city really is. I didn't realize you guys before hadn't seen that. That was what I was talking about when I back then was, remember when I sort of referring to something they seen. Yeah, because none of that, it's like, it's not, I mean, everything's fake. A lot of it's fake.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And they've been very slow with revealing that to Flynn and to, you know, like they're really slow with that and really dishonest about it. And I felt like when Wolf said to her, oh, well, I forgot about it. You didn't even think about it. I'm like, really? You don't think about it? Or did you just choose not to tell her that like 90% of people on the planet are dead and no one's around anymore? Right?
Yeah.
Which makes the world, you know, the future world seem even smaller with these factions that are all fighting each other. You know, it makes it seem like, you know, and we went from, you know, a decent population. Now it feels much tighter and smaller. And it makes me wonder, what is the point of all this fighting? Does everybody, you know, these three different things, you know, factions think, oh, ours is the right way to repopulate the planet. No, ours is the right way. No, ours is the right, you know, and, you know, messing with the past. I mean, the scientists, I feel like it's like they're messing with the past to see how to fix their present.
But
at the same time,
kind of
was that Sammy?
No, I said that's the thing is you question that because they should be. That's what they should be doing. But that's what I was saying. Like, it seems more like they're just seeing how things work really than trying to find solutions. But I guess we probably don't know everything yet. But that's
well,
the
yeah,
part
yeah,
I'm kind of.
Break a few eggs to make an omelet, but it seems more cruel than scientific. Like, she was very giddy. She's like, look what we can do. And she's like, it's already happened. And Alita's like, stop this. Don't do it. Don't, like, stop. That's not right. And her ex there is like, it's already happening. I can't stop it. Hee-hee. Like, she was enjoying herself.
Yeah. It wasn't like she said, which makes, look, we sent...
Which makes Cerise killing her a lot... Like, you don't care as much now. I'm like, well, you know what?
Yeah.
It's one bad person killing another bad person.
Yeah. It's not like if she was like, look, we sent this experimental drug back and Flynn's mother can see now. So, like, it's unethical to test on these people without telling them, but look. But no, she's like, look, we tortured a dog, like, to mess with their, like, sympathy instinct and, like, you know, this is what they did and we can use that against soldiers on the field. Like, and...
Like, how does that help them fix things, you know? It's more
And I'm sorry, like, everybody's already wiped out. Who are you planning to send your soldiers to have a war against? Like, isn't, like, everybody's already wiped out. Like, what? Right? Like, who are you even?
Well, I think, like, part of it, and I could be wrong, but are they, do you take it that maybe part of that tech that's in them is, like, from the future maybe? And we don't know that. Like, was that what they were testing? It wasn't super clear to
I
me.
Think,
like, I kind of assumed it was
I, it's
do
definitely
with,
connected.
I mean, I don't see what that benefits them, I guess. Other than I think maybe, and I could be wrong, but I think part of it is saying that they can, I wondered if part of the idea is that they can control people by, like, messing with their emotions in that way. They're saying, like, we can force people to do what we want, whether that's to save, to fix the future or just change things in the future and get what they want, I'm not sure. But that was kind of how I took it.
I mean, definitely. So Flynn and Burton live in 2030, right? We're in 2022 now. I think Gibson wrote the book in 2020, right? So to have that type of technology jump in 10 years, I think certainly, Jamie, yes. It's future technology that the RI has seeded into the past to experiment with, or I don't know, who knows what they're trying to do, right? We don't really know what they're trying to do.
The interesting thing about it, though, is when Flynn's questioning Will about the haptics, he's like, what's haptics? Like, what is that, you know? And she explains that, you know, it's similar to their technology and whatnot and everything. She's like trying to, you know, because of what Burton said to her, she's now questioning, am I having feelings for you? Is this just because we're connected? Were you trying to use that against me? And then she mentions the haptics, and he's like, what are you talking about? So is that just a term that they use? What's I'm saying? Is it just because they call it something different, or because maybe Wilf isn't aware what others around him have been doing to the past? Like, Wilf's in on it, but he's not all in on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think
he probably doesn't know about it.
I think that's right, AJ, that Wilf's in on it, but not all in on it. Everybody treats Wilf like shit all the time. Every single person in the future, whoever talks to Wilf, treats him like a second-class citizen for sure, right? Except maybe Alita, who we've seen very little of. And I think you said it very well. He's in, but he's not all in, maybe.
Yeah. They're only telling him what they need to tell him, I think, is what it amounts to.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, like, what's the face that Lev, it almost feels at times like Lev uses Wilf. You know, he's using Wilf for his own advantage, and he guilts him into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, now that we know what, you know, how Wilf and Lev met and what Wilf did, even though it was to save himself and everyone, you know, it was a righteous kill, but he has so much regret from it. It's almost like he punishes himself by letting Lev treat him, you know, and everybody else treat him the way they do.
Yeah.
I know he killed somebody, but I don't remember what it was. It's been so long since I've seen it.
Lev were basically in a prison school, the way they describe it.
They were in, like, that boarding
school
together.
And they were treated really poorly.
That...
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Wilf and Alita, not and
Lev.
Okay.
No, Lev.
Yeah, and he, like,
no, Wilf and Lev.
No, Lev was there.
It was
before.
Wilf and Lev at the boarding school.
It appears to be after he and Lev were, after he and Alita were adopted, he was maybe
adopted.
He was sent to the
yeah.
school, right?
I don't think that I realized that was, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember Lev.
Maybe
but
didn't
anyway,
know Lev.
That's right. They blew it
but,
up or
yeah.
something, didn't they? I can't remember.
Well, he killed the headmaster, and then I they might have blown it up afterwards. I don't remember that part, but I know he killed the headmaster, and
yeah,
they all escaped.
He killed the
yeah.
And they ran
they
away.
They weren't treated.
Yeah.
All right.
They were treated very badly there. I thought this episode was it was kind of interesting how this episode so last week Bob shows up and he tries to kill Burton and Flynn, right? And we had a talk last week about how they set up Bob's whole backstory with saying goodbye to the daughter, and he's really coerced, and but he still is like a really bad dude, right? And yet by the end of this, in this episode, by the end of it, I'm totally rooting for Bob to get away from Corbell. Is that his name?
Oh, yeah.
And his crazy wife.
Yeah.
Like, this guy who totally tried to kill the heroine last week, this week I'm like, please let him get away. Please let him get away. He's got to get away, right? Like,
I think it's the characters that guy usually plays. Because he usually, I don't know, to me, like, he was in this other show, like you want to... I don't know. Like, his character is likable as much as it's horrible at the same time. I see what you mean. But also, their characters are horrible, too, though, to be fair.
They're very horrible
people.
I agree. I like Bob's character. I mean, he's a bad person, but there's something charismatic about his character, you know?
There is. He usually plays something like that.
And we know, because we got the setup last week, that Bob was absolutely coerced into taking this mission. He kind of didn't want to, and he had to kill his best friend as part of this, right? He didn't mean to. He wasn't told to, but he was set up against his best friend.
No, he did. Well, no. He killed his friend because his friend gave him up.
Yeah. And gave his daughter.
Yeah.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, but it was set up by someone else, right? Like, Bob doesn't know who set him up. Like, someone set his friend against him. Yes. I mean, they did make Bob like a reluctant hitman last week.
Yeah.
And
that thing
still tried to kill Flynn.
Like, sad when he calls her and he's like, I can't see you again, basically.
It was, but he's absolutely a bad dude. He tried to kill Flynn,
and yet, by continuing,
I think he tried to kill Flynn, and I guess I'm a little surprised to get this continued story with him. I was very sympathetic to him this week, and I wonder if he will somehow, like, what's going to happen? Is he gonna get away? Is he gonna try to kill Corbett? Is he gonna somehow?
You know what
help Flynn and Burton in the end? Like, where is all that?
I agree. I agree. I get that vibe from him. I feel like this is totally going to be an enemy of my enemy thing because, like you said, he's coerced into this, you know, a job that he didn't really want to take in the first place. Now Corbell kidnaps him, which clearly he's going to get away because the wife is just an idiot. I can totally see this turning to where he gets pissed off because he's like, all right, he doesn't seem like the type of person that likes to have people pulling his strings, you know? He's clearly been doing this a long time. He's a professional, and I can't see him, liking what's being done to him. So I could totally see him, you know, being like, you know what? And as he starts to figure things out, I could totally see him approaching the farm and being like, wait, hold on, I'm not here to kill you this time. Can we talk, you know? Like, what do you know about this? Because, you know, I have a daughter. She's innocent and all this and blah, 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 blah. So I could absolutely see the tables turning on this one.
Like, Bob,
like I said to you, Karen, last week, Bob's character has a very, it has a very strong, reminds me so much of the old man, you know, and it's very, the way it's going right now is kind of similar.
Yeah.
Of the old man. What?
This show, The Old Man, that we watched.
TV show, The Old Man, on Hulu with Jeff Bridges.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant an old man in this show. I couldn't figure out what the heck you were talking about.
No.
I did like how her friend, though, when she, like she ain't taking his shit when she goes after him. I thought that was funny.
Oh, you mean last week?
Was that last week? Well, I don't
know.
It was last week. But,
yeah, I think you weren't in our discussion last week. That happened last week. But, yeah, you know, I'm still a little confused, and it's fine. That's how the show is supposed to be, about where the future and the past are linking up and like, where that's all going to go. It's unclear, but very interesting that Lev now is like, okay, let's make two more peripherals and bring Flynn's two companions in, which he doesn't have to do. Even if she should demand it, he'd be like, whatever, sorry, right? I don't know. It seems to me that we knew it was, we've talked about this and we knew it would happen because there's no reason. We knew that how much Burton wanted to get in and I'm not surprised that it happened. It's just I'm trying to see what Lev's game is there by creating more peripherals for, which apparently is illegal, right? And letting more people come through and what he hopes to get out of it. I mean, Connor in particular is a real loose cannon. And by the way, that's a heartbreaking storyline that happened this week with him, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, with the catheter
IV.
With what?
Yeah, IV.
Well, like, Burton wants in. Yeah. Burton wants in because he wants to protect Flynn and solve it, and someone's trying to kill them.
Well,
Connor wants in because he gets two legs and two arms, right?
Yeah.
Connor wants in because he gets two legs and two arms, and he says, like, can I just lay in a bed and have a – he wants to stay in 24/7 and just have a catheter and an IV.
Oh, that was really
and never
bad,
return to his – I mean, it's heartbreaking. And a bad idea.
Understandable.
And also not I mean, he's going to have to go in and fight beside Flynn, or can he go in and be like, I'm outie, bye, can I just, but you really can't. Like, you can't just run around and be a peripheral all the time, because, like, there's a degree of control. But it's not making her sick.
We don't know.
We figured that out. No, we know. From this week, we kind of know. But wait. Let's complete one thought. Complete one thought before we move on. Like Connor can't just be like, I'm out, I'm going to live here forever and do whatever. We have seen other people like try to force Flynn out of the peripheral back into her world, right? Like, you encounter another very powerful person, like Charisse was like trying to, remember we've seen people try to push her out, to turn off the peripheral and make Flynn go back. And I just was going to say, like, for Connor, like, he's not just going to go, like, live a life. Like, he thinks he's going to be in The Sims or something, right? Or just, like, I don't know. I've never played The Sims, so maybe that's not good. But, you know, just have a virtual life. Like, I don't know. I'm a little – I know that he loves Flynn and Burton and that he's not going in for the real reason.
You know what I mean? Like, I think he's totally willing to help them, and I think he will give his – you know, would give his life if he had to help them. But I think that even if he doesn't get – forever, I think that probably anything he can get for him is worth it, is worth the risk.
So. It's very sad. But, Jamie, to your point about what's making Flynn sick, it's like we learned this week that, well, we didn't learn, but it appears that when Alita had Flynn look in the, what's it called, the God font with her eye, the eyeball, that it like the data was transmitted into Flynn's brain.
That's where it's hidden in the stub, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's what I think. Like, the data that's hidden in the stub is in Flynn's brain.
But is it in Flynn's brain, or is it in the peripheral?
It's in the peripheral, not in her. I don't know.
All right.
I guess
it's
it
in
could
the peripheral,
be
but...
I think what's making Flynn sick is when she got the shit beat out of her and she had that sonic weapon blasted into her head 5 times.
That too.
Okay, that's probably.
I think that's.
Mark.
I think that's what started her problems.
That she had what her mother had. That's what I was going to ask you too. I at one point thought that maybe they were trying to say that she was going to die.
You know what, Jamie? That's a good point too, because I come to think of it, like her hand tightening up and everything, that was before anything really got rolling. So that could actually be it. You could be right there. She could have whatever genetic defect her mother had before they gave her that medicine in Georgia.
Yeah, of all of it. I don't know. That's why I wanted to ask you guys, because I remember thinking, is her mother have something hereditary, or is it from the, like you said, from the blast? It wasn't clear. I think it probably wasn't clear on purpose.
I think it's from the going into the peripheral. When Tommy's wife gave her the MRI, I think Tommy's wife said it was bacterial. It looks like it's bacterial. We'll find out.
Maybe it was something with, like what her mother had. I can't remember.
We're
going to
find out because what's going to happen is Burton and Connor are going to start spending time in there, and they're not going to have any neurological effects, and then we'll know that it's a
plant. Or they will.
Yeah.
Either way, we'll find out. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is on Fridays, right?
It's on Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't watch it on Fridays, but it drops on Fridays.
Yeah. That's what I meant. It's released on Fridays. All right. Speaking
of Fridays, totally off in left field, but when you guys said Friday, it reminded me. The Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special is on this Friday. That's what it's called.
On Disney?
On Disney Plus, yes.
What? Okay, thank you.
And it's
that one of the cartoon ones, or is it live action?
It's live action.
I don't know.
You haven't seen the trailer? Oh, my God. It's going to be so good. 42
no,
minutes
I
long.
Haven't. Cool. All right. Very cool.
All right, that's a good segue to move on to our next show, because we have belabored this enough. We got a lot to talk about, right?
Manifest.
Yeah, that was going to say, AJ, you saw Wakanda, but Karen, you did not see Wakanda, right? Okay.
No, but I promise you I will watch Wakanda. I promise you I will watch Wakanda before next week. And by then,
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure, because I've seen it.
We'll see it.
So.
Okay.
I was curious. All right. Which episode, remind me which episode this is. I'm going to look it up so I know where I can look
this
up.
Was
okay, there
five
are
and
two
six.
Episodes.
Five
it
and
is
six,
largely,
right?
Five.
Yes, which is largely focused on rescuing the baby. What's her name? Eden. It's largely focused on rescuing Eden and getting her back.
Okay.
Almost all of it is about that. And they do get her back by
the
end of it.
The second one's mostly about Jared.
Okay. So I was going to say, this is kind of like, I almost looked like, it wasn't, but I feel like this half of the season was almost split in two, because the first half's about Eden and the second half is about what it's about that you haven't seen yet.
I'm just glad they finally got Eden back, because I couldn't take much more of it, especially with Ben. My God. Ben is still the worst. He really is the worst. Yes. I mean, I'm jumping all over the place here, but, Cal fucked up with Angelina yet again. And Ben should have talked to him first instead of ripping the phone out of her hand and everything, because that just made Ben look like the monster again. Bad man. But the conversation he has with Cal after that, it's just like the guy has not learned. At least now, we used to complain in season one how Michaela and Ben were both awful because they were all over the place all the time. And now at least their characters are consistent. Ben is consistently an asshole. So at least they're consistent now.
He's the worst. He is the worst. He has treated both his children so terribly for 2 years, right? And then they get Eden back, and he's very – I mean, there were parts of it where I thought, okay, Ben is really trying, like, and I appreciate that the show is not just going to make Eden suddenly be like, I'm home. Like, they are showing how this baby doesn't know these people, and she's – I just assumed she'd have a joint calling with them, and then she'd be like, oh, okay, I understand now, right? But they seem to going there.
How old, though? She probably, even if
like
she
three.
Did, doesn't
she's two.
Understand it necessarily.
No, she's
That's
two.
What I mean. She's been missing. She's been
she's
missing.
No, you're right. She's high three. She's three. No, you're
she's
right.
Three.
She's three. Because she's been missing for,
yeah.
She was a year old when she got taken, and it's been 2 years.
Well,
so three,
the
yeah.
The point is even
yeah.
If or when she has calling, I think that she wouldn't necessarily understand him anyway because she's too little.
No, but the callings often give a feeling of peace or a feeling of danger. Also, why don't they just be like, hey, Zeke, can you, like, of course, Zeke's a whole separate story. But
I wouldn't trust Zeke right now.
Like, I wouldn't either, but we know more than everybody else does. And
sure.
I'm just saying,
true,
like,
true,
I just
true.
Thought they would, I'm just saying I thought these writers would either calling help Eden to feel safer with these people, or they would have Zeke. And they're not. They're, which is fine, but the other, I mean, it's good. They're actually showing maybe something that's, like, partially realistic about bringing a kidnapped kid home. But.
Yeah.
But Ben is the worst. Ben is the worst, right? And he would not have gotten Eden back at all for Cal. And then he's a total jerk to Cal. Yes, Cal screwed up. And, like, Ben maybe is not wrong. Like, this is the second time that Cal has screwed up with Angelina. And, I mean, to AJ's point, he's 5 years taller. He's not 5 years more mature. But, like,
right.
He did screw up. But Ben was really a jerk about it, yeah.
Ben made it worse. But to be fair, like, Cal should have gone to Ben first and been like, listen, Angelina's on the phone. She wants to talk to Eden, but I told her the only way she could talk to Eden is if she tells Eden you're not the bad man, that you're her father, you know? Like, that was, like, he should have gone to her. He shouldn't have done it on his own because then Ben overreacts, makes it worse. Now Eden's even more scared of Ben than she already was. And then the way he talked to Cal afterwards is just unforgivable. Like, that's just...
Yeah.
Ben is just, you know, I mean, he found, you know, they have Eden home now. You thought maybe he'd back off a little, but no, he's still it's just all about Eden. Actually, you know what? And it's not even about, now it's not even about Eden. It's about himself, you know? It's about, oh, I'm your daddy.
Yeah.
You know, look, oh, I got rid of the beard, you know? It's like,
love me. Oh, love me. Love me.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but Ben's just a bad dad.
I kept wondering, when are they going to see a social worker or a psychiatrist to help this poor child reintegrate with her family, right? Like she's been kidnapped and gone for 2 years, and there's, like, zero police or social worker intervention whatsoever, and he's just allowed to take her home immediately. And I was like, oh, what's going on, New York City, Dyfus? Come on. And as usual... Olive has it all figured out, but of course Ben is ignoring her too because he's always been a terrible
yeah.
father, like totally ignoring Olive for years and years. And of course Olive figured the whole thing out like she always does. And,
yep.
You know, has nobody will listen to her.
Yep.
I wonder if she's just going to keep calling TJ on the phone or if they're actually going to finally bring him back.
I know, right? I appreciate she called him. They didn't just, like, drop him like he never
yeah.
existed. But, yeah, that's a good point.
And speaking of idiots on this show, Adrian continues to be an idiot. And I think it's so funny, though.
You're
like,
so
he helps her get at the car afterwards, and he drops her off at her mom's house. And then, as he's telling Egan what happened, after he took her in, she refuses to let him stay. I was like, really? Like, that takes a ball. And then, of course,
I know,
and,
right?
You know. And then, of course, Angelina, I couldn't believe how delusional she was when she was calling the house. She's like, Ben, let me talk to my baby. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, she is just that far gone.
She's insane.
And she's like,
she's
oh, you don't know things
insane.
About her. I know this, and I know this. Well, yeah, you know those things because you kidnapped the kid.
He's a psycho.
Yeah.
I appreciated the flashback where her mother's like, you're dead to me. But then the mother's like, oh, my God, you're alive, and takes her back in.
No, no. Here's, speaking of the mom, here's my thing, okay? you kick her out, and you let her take the baby that you know is kidnapped.
Yes, I saw that, yeah.
I'm like, why wouldn't you take the baby and tell her to get out?
Like, you know,
because her mother's as bad as she is.
Yeah. And if your daughter's 15, why don't you call the police? Yeah, that was all. It all made sense.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, I partly get the you're dead to me, get out of here, because I don't want to be the one to call the police on you. But when she comes back 2 years later, it's like, why are you hugging her? Why are you? She's dead to you, remember? She's since killed more people, you know?
Well, I guess she was dead to her until she thought she might actually be dead in an explosion. And then,
be dead,
you know,
yeah.
Or two,
I guess.
Or whatever. But, like, her mother's crazy also, right? We know that her parents made her crazy in the first place.
Because they kept
her locked in that room and everything.
Yeah.
As much as I like Holly Taylor, I would appreciate the Angelina story being over soon. I'm not really sure what it's contributing at this point.
Well,
It'll be. I was gonna say maybe the Angelina storyline will be over by episode 10, and then episodes 11 through 20 we won't deal with her. Maybe. That's just wishful thinking on my part.
I feel like it's not really contributing anything except annoying me. I don't know really where it's going. She's obviously psycho. And I don't need her to tell me Eden is special because we know it. Like, we've seen Eden have joint calls. Like Grace got callings while Eden was in the womb, right? I did appreciate in this episode where that is brought up, that Eden was not on the plane and has callings. She's the only person who has not died who has callings. Like, Zeke died, and that's why he has callings, right?
Now, here's my thing. It's been 4 years now since they got off the plane, right? About four years?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you telling me in those 4 years, Ben is the only one to impregnate somebody and pass on his callings to the child? Like, why have we not heard about other kids like Eden?
If that's why. I assume that's
maybe they
why.
Don't get – maybe
gotta
people
be
gotten
why.
Pregnant, but they don't get callings?
Yeah, but why is Eden – why did Eden then? The only way Eden could possibly be getting – should possibly be getting callings is because Ben's her father. That's the only reason. There's no other logical. I mean, you can't, you know what I mean? It's got to be, I mean, yeah, Grant, all right. But unless there's going to be some other, like, thing, like we had the one guy whose name I always forget, the one that drowned in the truck, and he came back, and then, you know, that's how they started figuring out the whole death date, and then, of course, there's Zeke. But why just Eden unless it has to do with Ben? You know? But if it just has to do, why does it just have to do with Ben? Why is it not any passenger that impregnates a woman? The same situation, or maybe even a woman that was on the flight that gets impregnated. You know what I mean?
Like, if Michaela and Zeke had a baby, would that baby have calls?
Yes, exactly. I hope it's not a loose thread that they just kind of leave. Because that would annoy me.
I mean, it's a good point, right? Has no other passenger ever had a baby in 4 years? I hadn't thought about
exactly.
that. That's a good point. I don't know. So, when Jamie's not speaking, he's probably like, we're going to find 10 people who got pregnant.
Yeah, right. And then the second half of the episode, which I really enjoyed that we, you know, got more Jared. I liked the way they're doing the flashbacks to give us the past year. Or the past 2 years, you know, this way we don't have to see the entire 2 years, just the pertinent stuff. And I like that we finally find out why Jared got busted down to Blues.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is kind of messed. Like, they really hit him hard because, yes, he punched that guy in the face. He probably shouldn't have.
But he did.
But he had no way to know that guy was a cop. The guy was out, not in uniform. He did not present himself as a police officer. So
and he was abusive.
I think
he was out of line. Yeah.
Yeah, he was completely out of line.
Officer,
but the problem,
you're probably not supposed to hit random people. You know.
But
no,
but
you're right.
The problem with it, even though the guy was completely out of line, there's a lot of people that have prejudice towards the 828ers. So that probably had
a
lot to do with it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Jared's punishment is more for being aligned with Michaela than for punching a fellow officer in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about the dwell? Well, go ahead. Go finish your thought, AJ. I'll go after.
I was just going to point out something about Drea. For a minute, I thought I was watching a horror movie, by the way, because when she was running away from the captain, why did she run to the roof? She said she was going up to IA. If she's going, why didn't she get off on the IA floor instead of running to the damn roof? Like, what is going on there?
Everybody knows that when you get to the roof, it's a dead end. They needed that, right?
Why wouldn't you run straight into internal affairs and be like, he's chasing me, he's chasing me, he's trying to kill me, right? No, you run to the roof? You were going to report him anyway. Why wouldn't you go up and report him?
Exactly. But anyway, you were going to say, Karen?
Yeah. I was going to say, what were we talking about? Oh, I was going to say, how do you guys both feel about, like, the major, like, dwelling on Jared's status? Like, Jared is, like, I'm not complaining. Jared is not just like a supporting character in Michaela's life. He's like a full, like we're getting so much about how this affects him and what, I mean, we always have, but I feel like Jared's really got a really strong presence in this. And I, like the whole, what was it, 5 and 6? The whole 6th episode is so much about Jared's status, and Jared's going to lose his job because he can't, like, you know, he's going to be honest about having – I don't even understand what Jared was doing, because Jared's like, I'm going to find my gun, and I'm going to get busted, and blah, blah, blah.
And it
it's never even
anything.
Discussed,
it
like,
helped
are you going to turn in Zeke? Are you not going to turn in Zeke? Zeke's like, I did it. Like I was like, what is even going on here with Jared? You're going to be honest, but you're not actually going to be honest. Right?
Yeah, I think he was just going to say that he was the one that used the gun, and he was going to take complete blame for it, which would not have helped anybody. Except maybe Zeke.
Well, it wasn't really in line with his whole honesty shtick, right? He's like, I've got to be honest.
So it's more him being a martyr and being the one that...
I'm going to be a martyr. Which also, he's still in love with Michaela. Not that Michaela would probably ever take him back if he turned in Zeke, but...
You think he's still in love with Michaela? I mean, him and Drea look pretty good together.
They do, but do you remember in this episode where Zeke says, I think there's something going on between them, and Michaela says, yes, they're having sex. She doesn't say they're dating. She doesn't say they're in love. She says, yes, they're having sex. Mm. Like, the way Michaela described it minimized it in terms of being a relationship, I felt, right? Now, is that because it's true, or is that because Michaela also... is in love with Jared. Actually, I don't think she is, but like she definitely said they're having sex. She didn't say they're dating, or she didn't say they're together, right? She definitely positioned it as just like sex.
I thought
maybe
it
I'm reading too much into
supposed
it.
Supposed to be they were just sleeping together though, but maybe maybe I'm wrong.
Partly I think you're reading too much into it. Secondly, though, there was more to that than just her saying that. And there was another line in there, which I don't recall, because Zeke said, she said something else first, and then she said, because they're having sex. I remember there was a because
no,
in there,
goes,
but this, I forget what
no,
I
Zeke,
forget what else was said.
Zeke says, listen, husband and wife code, I got to tell you, I think there's something between Jared and what's her first name? Jared and... Andrea, is that her name? Drea. And Michaela goes, oh, yeah, they're having sex. And Zeke looks at her and she goes, Drea told me, girl code. And
yeah, I remember
like
the girl code. That was too funny.
Comic moment between the two of them, like, not telling each other. But Drea didn't really tell her. She kind of figured it out with the coffee cup. it doesn't really seem to bother Michaela. She doesn't really mind.
No, she seems kind of happy for them. She seems pretty happy for them.
I mean, I guess anytime your ex moves on, it's kind of good sometimes, right? Anyway, I guess I was just, I don't know where I'm going with this. I was like heavy leaning into Jared in these couple episodes and how it's affecting him.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, yeah, I mean, it is funny though. Like, I thought about that too with, you know, his moral compass and everything and him doing, you know, what he's supposed to do and doing the right thing and everything. Except for the part where he tells the truth about who actually shot the woman. But I kind of get that to a point, too, because it could be his – he could blame himself anyway because it was still – it was his gun. Even though Zeke's the one that took it and shot it, he's a cop. He's not supposed to be in a situation where somebody can just take your gun out of your holster.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
Like, it wasn't even locked because unless this was a screw-up, it wasn't even snapped locked. It was Zeke just reached over and pulled it out. He didn't unsnap it first or anything like that. He just pulled it out, which means it hurt. Which means Jared did not secure it properly when he
holstered it.
Put it back in his holster. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, because Zeke just grabs it and boom, boom. I mean, the point more to that is Zeke, right? So Zeke, and can we just go back to my comment last week about the Green Mile? Where I, you know, I talk about John Coffey taking in all that evil and hatred and violence had to eventually come out. It's not the same as John Coffey, but it's starting to come out of him, right? Like, he can't absorb anymore. He's becoming violent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he slams a guy up on the... He slams a guy into the wall and gets fired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he slams his client into the wall. That was egregious. You have to get fired for that. Although they didn't even really have any discussion about it. But yeah, he gets fired.
He's taking in too much hatred. That was kind of a little strange. Is that she didn't even try to find out what happened. She's just like, you're fired. I mean, he should be fired, I guess. Don't get me wrong, but she didn't even find out why after he helped so many people. You know, it's kind of strange that happened.
Well, I mean, in a normal workplace, they'd be like, we have an investigation or whatever, but in a workplace, they have more than 20 episodes, and so they can, you know, we have a short amount of time on this show to move through. He's becoming dangerous, so it was a little disappointing, not in the show, disappointed in Zeke, how he, you know, Zeke immediately falls off the wagon and starts drinking, which... I mean, I feel sorry for Zeke, but he really, I don't know. Zeke's been through a lot, and we haven't seen him struggle. And I guess maybe because Zeke is working with maybe addicts, and maybe he's taking their to himself also, and maybe that's why he so quickly, returns to using, he goes into the liquor store, I guess, is what happened there. I hadn't thought about it until I just said it right now, but maybe his clients are addicts also, and maybe that's one reason why he weakened so quickly, because we haven't really seen Zeke struggle
with addiction
for several seasons now, right?
Too much into it, I mean.
I mean, of course, there are people who are clean 5, 10, 20 years, and they relapse also, so. But apparently the whole point, his relapse doesn't matter. The whole point of his relapse was so that he could trip over Cal in the front yard.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
He comes home and Cal is passed out in the front yard. I mean, Cal...
Yeah, Cal didn't make it very far.
No, Cal ran away from home and got to the front door.
Before I say something that I shouldn't say, what happens at the very end of the episode?
Zeke trips over Cal in the front yard. That's the very end of the
episode. There's nothing after that?
No.
No.
Okay, I won't say what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I thought
and by the way,
where Cal went. That's what I was trying to see.
Yeah, he trips over in the front yard. By the way, isn't this the second time that Cal ran away and only got as far as the front yard? Didn't he, get kidnapped in the front yard last time he ran away?
Yeah.
Right? He the kid needs to stop running away. Because he's not very good at it. He keeps, last time, those meth dealers kidnapped him in the front yard when he ran away. Poor cow. So, yeah, Zeke, the whole point of Zeke relapsing, I felt like, maybe was that he could just trip over Cal right in the yard there. So we'll see where that goes. And there's all this other stuff going on with Sanvi. Sanvi's research and Cal and the blah, blah, and the MRM, whatever. All that, like, the divine consciousness is starting to, I'm starting to feel like I'm really not down with the divine consciousness storyline, and I don't know if
see,
I like
don't
it.
You're far enough for me to tell you what my theory is, because I don't want to, I'm not sure exactly what you've seen with her and the things that she's found out, but once you guys get to the end of the season,
the things that we found out.
No, just the, like the different stuff that she's found out in her research. I don't know specifics of how far you've gotten. I don't want to say something.
She's pretty much found out zero so far.
Okay, because I have a theory.
Well, no, they've
I think
they've established
might be
that all the callings happened. All they can hear all the callings in the 6 seconds that the plane gets struck by lightning, which is how they came to the conclusion of divine consciousness.
Save the people. Oh, that didn't happen yet. Wait, let me not. Okay, I'm not going to say that yet. It's not like I can spoil people are going to be happy, but I don't want to spoil it for you guys. I don't want to scream. Oh, no, wait.
Yeah,
they got Eden back, so that did happen. The thing with the house, right? That happened. Okay.
Right.
Well, what did he say to his father? Didn't he say to his father how he did it? Because I have a theory on that.
Yes. They've established that. That the callings are memories.
Okay, well, they're saying that they're memories of them being in the plane. I think, and this is my opinion, and I have no clue, but I think that the plane traveled to the future. I think that they're actually, like, literally memories. That's what I think. I think that they know it because it already happened, and that's how they know it. That's my own theory. I can say that now because
well,
that was
exactly
based
what
on
Cal
what Cal said.
Well,
no,
like,
but I don't think that's the way he meant it. At least after the more I watched it, I realized he didn't mean what I thought he meant. But that's what I think.
He's like, I knew the detonator wouldn't go off.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering them, but that's what I think's happening anyway. Maybe you think it too then, I guess.
It kind of reminds me of in Harry Potter and the – which Harry Potter is it where where he sees the Patronus.
Where he says, I knew I could do it because I knew I'd done it. Because
I'd done
like
it
that.
Before. I knew I could do it because I'd done it before, yeah. Yeah. Like, I felt that's what Cal was saying.
Yeah.
But Cal doesn't really know what he's saying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I felt like that's what he's saying. I knew he'd done it before.
Well, I think I took it, I think, after the more I've watched. I think that they mean that it's a memory because of whatever they saw in the divine consciousness or whatever it is they saw when they went into the light or whatever. But I don't think they meant it quite literally because I definitely took it that it's literal, but I don't think they necessarily think that. I don't know. We'll see. After you guys watch more, you can tell me what you think.
All right. Anyway, it was pretty decent.
Yeah.
Also, I felt the highlight of the episode was Ben shaving that heinous beard that he's been wearing.
Yeah.
No wonder your kid's afraid of you. Your beard is disgusting.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the divine consciousness either, but I do like the whole we briefly mentioned Olive before, figuring out the whole thing about the sapphire. That makes it even more interesting. Adding the sapphire to it.
To feel about the sapphire. Well, at least you know why they're after the sapphire, I'm guessing. But you don't know everything yet. All right.
No, I mean, there's sapphires around, basically what was learned, yeah.
Yeah, well, it gets interesting. There's some cool stuff.
You know, I love when Olive is on screen because pieces seem to fall together. You know, it's like, you know, with her and Cal had everything laid out and everything, and then all the certain pieces lit up with the star and the peacock everything. And
she's the smartest person.
But that only happens
family.
When she really is. It only happens when the person who doesn't have callings is around.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Time to move along. Anything else on your agenda, Jamie? Have you watched anything? No, the rest is just me and
Jamie. No, but I will say all my Manifest interviews are up now.
Oh, good.
I mean, they were mostly, I think, when I talked to you last time, but they're all up now.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm trying to think. I saw Wakanda. I said that. And I watched ones that I did interviews for, but none of them are particularly like the kind of stuff we cover. I'm trying to think. Mammals was good, but definitely isn't. Echo 3 is good, definitely isn't. And I said Jack Ryan, but that's not so far either. Although I didn't get to watch all of it. I don't think there's anything else. Are we done? What else do we have tonight yet?
Andor.
Karen, I have Andor and AHS.
Finale.
Oh, okay. So there's nothing else I've seen. All right. Yeah, I don't think there's anything. I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anything else. I just want them to send the rest of Peripheral. I'm mad I got to wait. I don't like that I got to wait.
Jimmy, you'll get no sympathy here.
Welcome to.
Stop
the time. Yeah, really. Welcome to our world.
It's sometimes
the whole world.
Harder for me, though, because I end up waiting even longer because I see it ahead of time. So it's like I got all that time plus to wait. But no, I know. I just want to see what happens.
Yeah,
I want to know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. You're not going to get any. You're going to get nothing from us.
Is there anything? I was trying to think, though. Is there anything else premiering soon that we're going to be talking? I'm trying to think if there's anything that we covered that's premiering. I know Dark Materials is coming back soon, but I'm so far behind on that. It's not even not funny, but
yeah, I'm
looking
forward to
that. I don't remember when that's coming back. That is soon, isn't it?
Month. I think it's next month, but I don't know because I'm not caught up. So,
all right. Well, maybe we can investigate the slate and talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Yep. Sounds good. All right. Well, have fun, guys. I will talk to you next week.
All right.
Well, you said, when did you say that Guardians thing was coming out, AJ?
Friday.
Okay, because we'll have to talk about
that.
All right,
we'll put that on the schedule for next week.
Yeah, we'll put that on the schedule for next week. We'll
have
some room.
Guys. And
you too, Jamie.
I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Dark Materials, December 5th.
Okay.
Oh, good. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Cool. All right, bye. All right,
night, Jamie.
Good night.
Right,
all right,
back to Andor.
Yeah. So I was saying
Cass Andor
that
was in this whole show for 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes. The only episode, which last week is the only time I actually enjoyed his scenes during the prison break, and back to not caring about him.
His scenes
it's funny
really
that
amazing this week.
It's almost like they just called it Andor because he's in it. But it's more about, the beginning of the resistance as a whole. Because
it
he isn't even playing
Rise
a factor.
Of the resistance, right? It's like the
or
resistance
something, because
story.
He's not even
what it is.
He's not even a factor in it really. Like, yeah, he was there for the heist, but it wasn't like he planned it or wanted to be part of it. He was kind of like coerced into it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything since then has been just circumstance.
Yeah.
It's funny. They're hanging on the... Go ahead.
Good. I just had dinner with a friend the other day who's a big Star Wars guy. And I said, are you watching Andor? He's like, no, I haven't watched Andor. And he didn't even know what the name Andor meant. He's like, what is that? Is it a planet? Is it a person? I'm like, no, it's Cassian Andor. And he's like, who the hell is that? And I had to explain to him. And he's like, yeah, I don't know who that guy is. I don't really care. What's the point of it? Blah, blah, blah. And when I explained to him that we talk about every week and the part we really like is the office politics at the Empire, and he immediately said, oh, is it like The Office? And I was like, well, I mean, it's not a comedy, but yeah. And then my friend went on to say, then he went on to compare this show to He said, I abandoned Obi-Wan in the middle because it was boring. And I was like, yeah. Like, everything we talk about, this friend of mine, I was like, yeah, I'm not watching it. But then was interested in the office politics part, which is the part that we liked the most, right?
Yeah.
Which was which was not on display this week very much. There was not any.
No.
So what's her name? Dina? The woman.
Mira.
Mira was not in it at all this episode. She didn't have any appearance, right?
No, she was in it. She was in it for a minute. Not very long, but when they were questioning Bix again, she was in it for a second.
Yeah. Poor Bix.
You know, I mean,
Bix
it's pretty.
Not,
yeah. She does not look too good. I mean, it's pretty obvious everybody's going to end up back on Fenix, which is funny because when the show started, we're like, oh, we're never going to see these people again. But everybody's
right?
going to back on Fenix. What's this? Karn's going to end up back on Fenix. And, you know, we've already got some people there. Yeah. The only one what's his face is Luthen's on his way back to Fenix. And obviously Andor's going to end up there. And it's going to be interesting, to say the least. The only thing I'm not sure is if Vel is planning on going back to Fenix or if she's just going to keep hanging out in Coruscant.
Well, she might not go, and Luthen won't go to Fenix.
Luthen's on his way to Fenix.
Oh, he is, right. You're on his way. It's so stupid. No, he's going to Fenix.
Everybody's going to Fenix to try and capture Andor, because Luthen,
which is so
you know,
stupid.
Andor's a loose end for him that he needs to either bring into the fold, which obviously we know he does, or kill him outright, which, you know, he doesn't. You know, that's what I was going to say. When they were hanging off the side of the mountain, I said to Artie, I was like, you know, there's not even any suspense to this, because we know both these characters are in Rogue One.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah,
they're idiots, and then they got caught by those other beings, those other species,
those two aliens who talk like Jar Jar Binks, they were terrible aliens. I was like, really? They said to me, they were Jar Jar Binks-ish.
They were not Jar Jar Binks. Just they did not talk like that. They were
in
it for all 2 seconds. I just thought it was funny as hell that they just escaped prison and they get caught by these two guys just hanging out by the water.
Yeah.
Idiots. But anyway. So we kind of saw it coming, but what did you think about the fact that Mon Mothma is seriously considering the betrothal?
You know, I think it's really. On the one hand, it's kind of sad and pathetic, right, that you would, you know, do that and her sister, like, that you would sell your child like that basically for money. But on the other hand, I kind of get it because if she goes down, her kid and her husband are going down also. Like, it's not like her kid is going to have a good life if she gets caught, right? So she's trying to save herself, but is she only trying to save herself? No, she's trying to save her family, I guess, also. So I feel for her. I kind of wondered why. What's her sister's name? Her sister's name is
It's her cousin.
Right?
It is her cousin. Her daughter calls her auntie, but it's their cousin.
It's her cousin, really?
Because Vel actually.
Because
Vel actually says refers to Mon Mothma as her cousin.
Vel is from a wealthy family and probably has her own money anyway, and I think she must have also gotten a share of the heist. And I was kind of wondering why she never said, like, I have money, let me help you.
Because it's not enough. That's the thing. It's such an amount that she'd have to borrow from a lot of people. But if she got the money from Vel, then Vel would have to explain where her money went. You know what I mean?
Okay. Except Vel probably has money from the heist, right? Like she
yeah, but not that
paid.
Much money.
Cass Andor is not the.
It's 400.
But you know.
Yeah, it's 400. It's 400,000. That's less than what the heist was, or that's more than what the heist was.
Are you sure? Is it really?
Yeah.
Didn't Cass get like 85 for doing the heist? Because Cass, after the heist, Cass came back to Fenix and
he got
80. Gave Bix He gave her 12. He got 80?
Yeah, he got 80. So if you 80 times. All right, maybe it's about the same. All she, you know, all Vel got from it was 80. I think Luthen took
no,
the other
I'm
shares
sure
that
more.
Didn't end
you
up.
You think she got an even share?
Well.
I bet she got more. Here's the thing. 80 could help.
I don't know what her share was.
Almost 25%. 80 could help.
Right.
Whatever.
I guess
I was surprised that there was no offer of any kind of help from this relative. But I guess the point is for Mon Mothma to be in dire straits. Yeah, I think it's. I think she's definitely considering the betrothal. She claims that, you know, there was that whole bit where she's like, Vel's like, what's with your daughter? And she's like, oh, she found religion by herself. It's not me. I'm telling you, she just, you know, she's into it. She's into the old ways, which conveniently would make it really easy for her to betroth the daughter because she's into it already, right?
Right.
I mean, I think she'll do it. She'll definitely do it because that story is happening. Like, that's where the story's going, right? But it's really, I don't know. Like I said, it's terrible, and yet does she think she's helping her daughter? Like, her daughter is not going to, if she gets caught, it's all for all of them.
Yeah.
Surely the daughter will be tortured also and whatever. And it's kind of shitty that, like, she basically spent all of her money, everything she's done with this money was to support Luthen. And Luthen's not going to help her. Luthen's already shown himself to be a guy that's like, whatever, you're in, sorry,
yeah.
I can't help you, right? So,
the price of rebellion.
Yeah. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, as we saw with the conversation between Saw and Luthen, he's like, hey, you want to go warn that guy? Go ahead. Go ahead, warn him. But, you know, it's your choice.
Warn him, you die too. Yeah. That's kind of a good scene. So I guess everyone's assuming Cass will go back to Fenix. In my brain, I'm like, Cass, that's the dumbest thing you could possibly do is go back to Fenix. Don't do it. He'll never do it. Of course he's going to do it, right?
We've already seen how stupid
dead,
he is.
Don't do it. He's very stupid. He's a very stupid man. He shouldn't do it. He probably will do it. And I don't really know why, because she's already dead. Like, if you're not going to go back while she's alive, don't go back while she's dead. But he will.
He's because he wants to be there for the ceremony.
I want him to go back because the poor droid is so sad.
I know.
The poor little droid is so sad. And he just maybe he'd be so happy if Cass came back. Maybe the droid will save the day in the end. Probably that droid's going to die. That droid is totally going to die trying to save Cass Andor before the season is over. Mark my words. That's my prediction. That's my theory. And I'm sticking with it.
Well, tomorrow's the finale.
Oh, tomorrow's the finale.
That was episode 11. We're talking about 11 right now.
Yeah, this is the last episode coming. All right, the droid might make it till next season, but will definitely die in the season premiere. There's no way that droid is pretty beat up and old. It's not like an R2-D2 level of droid. And it's so sad. That droid is going to give up its life for Cass. So, all right.
Maybe.
So one more episode. It'll probably be Cass heavy. Maybe he'll actually do something that makes sense tomorrow.
Well, it's going to be everybody heavy because they're all going to be on the same damn planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
unfortunately, it's only like an hour, so it can't really go that far. He can't, like, rescue Bix or whatever, but we'll see. So, all right.
Yeah.
We can move on to our last show.
AHS.
Horror Story.
Ooh, that's insane.
I have a lot of thoughts about this. So, before we talk about it, I want to tell you a story. Can I tell you a story before we talk about it? So,
sure.
I went out Saturday. You know, I'd been away. And Saturday night I went to dinner with some friends of mine, and there was a guy at dinner, and we got to talking about American Horror Story. We had not talked about it before. Never met this guy before. But we were talking about all of our favorite seasons and blah, blah, blah. We got talking about New York, and And we talked a lot about how we were wondering where the story, it's not scary, where is it going horror-wise. We were very focused on, as you and I have been, on the horror elements and whatever. And I said, what's with Big Daddy? Do you think he's supernatural? He hasn't, like, you know, he's around, he doesn't tell people. And this guy said, well, you know, my friend said to me, we think Big Daddy is a metaphor for HIV. And I said, oh, you know, that's really good. I haven't really, like, thought about the story in that way, as I should. And then, of course, the next day I watched the two episodes and I'm like, oh, of course, 100%, Big Daddy is HIV,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is the whole time that the disease that Hannah was discovering, they made it seem like it was something else, and it turned out to be that it was AIDS that she was discovering.
But the deer, you and I were like, what's with the deer? What's with the deer? And that was Lyme disease.
Yeah.
Lyme disease. Yeah. So this show, so I've been watching this show as I watch every season of American Horror Story, and I've been thinking and saying to you, like, God, it's really not that scary, and, like, what's really happening, and the serial killer, and blah, blah, blah. And these last two episodes, I'm like, wow, I have been watching a really scary horror story, a true-life horror story that basically really happened, and I just didn't really understand. I just wasn't really paying attention to it the way that sometimes you and I watch, if I watch a show like Lost or a show like Fringe, I might spend a lot of time thinking and reading and talking about it, right? And I guess I just was thinking of this show in terms of it being like a regular season American Horror Story. And in fact, it was really about this horrible, horrible disease.
Right.
Everything about it was horrible. Everything about this last episode, I was like, holy shit, everybody dies and then it's over? What the fuck? Right?
Well, I after it was over, I went and I read this one review, and apparently, which, again, this wasn't made clear to us, even in the finale, but when the show starts, all of our main characters have already contracted HIV. They all had it already when the show started. But because, you know, 1981 was when the big outbreak happened, you know, so not, you know, I think it was interesting the way he did it, that they all had it without telling the audience that they already had it, because at, you know, the time, nobody knew about it even, you know?
Yeah. And
so,
we basically saw a lot of their flashbacks of how they may have been exposed.
Right. I thought it was kind of, you know, thing with Big Daddy being the personification of HIV, I thought was kind of an interesting way to do it. You know, once you realize that's what he is, everything else kind of makes more sense. Except where the only time it didn't make sense was when What's-His-Face shot him in the back, Patrick shot him in the head. at least all the other times when he's killing people, it makes sense. Because
yeah,
there was one point I was like,
Patrick,
I said,
actually saw him as though he was alive,
yeah,
human, like doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people have seen him as that, but this is the first, you know, that was the only time that anybody actually took any action. Usually, like I said last week, he seems like he's like witnessing more than anything.
Yeah.
But which it kind of was. But my problem, like, it's an interesting way to tell a story, and I understand why Ryan Murphy did it, but I feel like this season was so disconnected. Like, yeah, watching the last two episodes, you realize what the whole season was actually about. But yes, but by throwing, I feel like throwing in the Mai Tai killer is what makes it disconnected, you know? Yeah, the story about the Mai Tai killer, you think there's another killer and everything. And there was another killer, a deadly virus. I just... I feel like sometimes Ryan Murphy's artistic vision doesn't play well on TV screen. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It felt very disjointed and disconnected all season. And even once I understood what was going on, it didn't help to bring it together for me. Like, those last two episodes felt like a completely separate show all on its own, especially since, you know, you kind of jump between 87 and 81 back and forth so much.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately this show wasn't about... So the Mai Tai Killer, it does feel disjointed, although, you know, a big part of the Mai Tai, of Gino's storyline, and even of the killer himself, Mr. Whiteley, was the idea that people can commit crime against gay people and the police don't care, right? 1981 New York, where the killer stalking gay people and nobody really cares. And like, that is a metaphor for, like, there's a disease stalking and the world doesn't care either, right? I guess. Like except for the part where the killer's like, oh, I'm going to create I'm going to sew all these bodies together and whatever crazy Frankenstein shit I'm doing and blah, blah, blah. Like, what was up with that, right? but I agree with you. It feels like there's this serial killer mystery happens. And then all this little peripheral stuff comes in to be this really terrible horror story of this disease. There was like a 2-hour movie at the end about that was very realistic and had no, I mean, it's just 2 hours of like everybody getting sick and dying, right?
Yeah.
It's a story that we've seen before
and none of it being...
on the stage.
And
the screen.
Yeah, and none of it being in reality. I mean,
it is reality.
A lot of it was...
Those people all really died.
It is, all right, well, but I mean, it, you know, everything with Sam was all in his head as he's dying. And, you know, Patrick, too, most of Patrick's stuff was in his head. And, I mean, Gino's story was really sad because he's just watching people around him die until he finally came to it.
Yeah.
And then we're given the impression that
Sam's survived. Sam's story was, you know, sad. Was it sad? When I say sad, I mean kind of pathetic. As Sam's dying, he's basically dying alone. He's like, but I'm so popular. Everybody loves me. No, I'm through a lot of parties and, you know, but you're a total jerk. And like, he has a bad, like a pathetic death there. And then the weirdo deer come to him or whatever, like all that was like, it's all so weird. I think that Adam also we saw Adam has lesions
We know Adam's Well, we know Adam's HIV positive because he gave it to Hannah when he gave her his sperm to get pregnant.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But we also know not everybody not everybody that had HIV, you know, ends up with full-blown AIDS and dies.
Some people lived long enough until the new drugs came and they were able to, you know, become healthy.
I'm just making the assumption that Adam survived because that's where it ends as he starts his eulogy for Gino.
Gino, yeah. I mean, he definitely was the longest.
You know what the funny thing is? The problem with a lot of these characters are most of them aren't likable. So it's not to say that, you know, oh, well, they died of AIDS because I didn't, you know, they weren't likable people. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, as, you know, it's a TV show, as a viewer, you know, Patrick wasn't likable. Sam sure as hell wasn't likable. Gino was likable to a degree, you know. So it's
Adam
like you're focusing on these. Huh?
Adam was likable.
Yeah, Adam was likable. Adam was about it. I mean, you know, Barbara was pretty much an innocent, just caught up in this mess. You know, Hannah, unfortunately, you know, her best friend was gay, who she has to impregnate her at because she wanted a baby, and oops, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was, look, I'm not saying it was bad. It was harrowing.
Right, I'm not either.
And when I said earlier this is a story we've seen before, I don't mean that necessarily as a criticism. It's a story that I've seen before on the stage, on the screen. It's always horrible, and we need to see it again. I'm not saying, like
right.
I don't mean to say that Ryan Murphy shouldn't have done it because I've seen it before. Like, people need to see it more, probably, right?
Yeah. I mean, creatively speaking, it was done in a very interesting and different way. I mean, to depict it in this manner, in the horror TV show style, I think it was kind of brilliant. You know, any new virus that kills this many people is horrifying, you know? Like I said, my only real complaint is it just felt disjointed the whole season.
Because the Mai Tai killer is tagged on there.
Yeah,
and...
If you take the Mai Tai killer out of the storyline, I think it's much more fluid. And when you get to the realization what you've been watching, I think it makes it that much more poignant. And I almost feel like I think the Mai Tai killer actually is what hurt the story.
I get that. I also, there was some stuff that was shoehorned in there, like Sandra Bernhardt and the tarot cards. Like, what really was that? Like, okay, so I get that pretty much every reading she did for any one of our characters, it always came up as the death card, right?
Always came death.
Because guess what? HIV, we learned later, right?
Yeah.
But she's never, seen again. Which, look, I was young and not living in New York in the early to mid 80s when this all started to happen, right? So I don't want to say truly the lesbians were stepping up with their gay brothers, whatever. I have no, I'm not saying that. I don't know anything about that.
Right.
But the Sandra Bernhardt character was friends with all these people and then is not seen again.
Right.
You know, I get the whole thing with the death card. I kind of was expecting that we were going to see Frances Conroy again as the Angel of Death, who we saw only for a split second early in the season, right?
Yeah.
I thought she might appear again. She didn't. I do think, you know, after I watched this episode, these two episodes, I thought, okay, Karen, you've not been watching this show as closely as you could have, because a lot of this, it was all there and I didn't catch it or see it because I wasn't, you know, I was thinking of it in terms of when's the devil going to come? When are the ghosts going to come? I guess I was just waiting for a more, I don't know. And I was busy and just didn't really I didn't see where this was going, and it went to a really, really dark and sad place. And holy crap, just every single person dies, man.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's funny because, you know, I mentioned last week when Gino makes the Rock Hudson comment. That comment now goes from, you know, haha, that's funny, to holy crap, that's kind of, it's not funny, haha, anymore. You know, it kind of has more meaning to it now, considering Rock Hudson died of HIV.
And he was one of the first celebrities that you really knew.
He was the first. He was the first celebrity. I will never forget that. That always sticks out in my mind, because I remember the world went nuts. Was it Eddie Murphy? He was during one of his stand-ups, he was talking about Rock Hudson dying from AIDS. And he said it himself. He's like, the country went crazy. This is Rock Hudson. This is the man's man. He held women that every man dreamt of holding in Hollywood, you know? and he died of AIDS. You know, it was like that. And I hate to say it, that it took somebody like Rock Hudson dying from it for the world to take notice, but that's kind of what happened. I remember the world went nuts when mm-hmm. Rock Hudson died.
Yeah.
It was like, holy crap, maybe, like, this is a problem. We got to do something about this. Like, I remember,
he,
you know,
people didn't know he was my
father.
I remember
because so everybody was misinformed about the disease and how it was, you know, how it was contracted and everything. You know, I mean, I remember they were talking about no more kissing in movies. You can't kiss in movies anymore and TV shows and everything because you might get AIDS from kissing people. And, you know, I remember all the rumors and misinformation in the beginning.
Yeah, and, I mean, this was really hitting the, I mean, this is,
and I was young,
I
remember
horrible,
all that.
But we saw this was a horrible thing that happened. This is the show is very, it was the whole last hour, like, it's just Gino going to funerals, which, I mean, that's a real thing. Like, people went to 10, 20, 30, 40 funerals,
mm-hmm.
right? That's real. And he just, like, goes, and everybody's dying, and that's all. It actually made me think a little bit, so I also don't want to characterize, like, every show that is addressing the HIV epidemic is not the same, but Pose, you know, which also aired on FX in the last few years, and was also set in, like, in a gay niche subculture in the 80s, has a similar thing where the Billy Porter character just goes to funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral. And that is a real thing that people went through and is maybe probably the most horrifying part of what we saw, right? By the way, do you remember that scene where Gino goes to Patrick's funeral and the parents turn him away?
Mm-hmm.
And he starts yelling about the flowers and stuff. And then suddenly...
he was yelling because the casket was closed.
Casket was closed. And suddenly Adam is right there. And Adam is like, come on, we got to start the funeral. And it was for somebody else, right? And it was like a little... I was like, oh, that's a flashback to what he did at Patrick's funeral. Or is that a little thing of what he wished he did at Patrick's funeral? Like, how did you read that scene?
I read it as Gino is unhinged and we can't necessarily trust everything he's seeing and doing right now.
Okay. All right. Okay, that's fair. So he might or might not have said and done this.
But you know what? Murphy's done this before, and it could have been, again, where you just kind of – whatever you take as your own interpretation of what's going on necessarily at the moment isn't wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of how he filmed it and wrote it. You know what I mean? Like it's
okay.
Because especially Gino's part of the episode, it's so all over the place and there's so much going on and you just see Big Daddy just slashing people down left and right as Gino just sits there continuing to live and just witness. I don't think anybody's interpretation is wrong. I think it's just, you know, I think it's a lot of it, at least the last 2 hours, it's whatever you as an individual take out of it and how you get there. I think we all end up in the same place regardless of what did or did not happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I get that, yeah. It was rough to watch, right? I think, you know, as much as I feel like, wow, I wasn't really paying attention if I didn't get this, I think Ryan Murphy might have expected that there would be part of the audience that was like that, that I wasn't really, like, necessarily, like, getting that. I'm kind of mad at myself, but that I wasn't really getting it, and that Ryan Murphy maybe, you know, wanted me to have that experience at the end where I'm like, holy shit, what's going on here? Oh, my God, it's actually all about HIV.
Well, not for nothing. In a way, it might have partially been intentional because let's think about this a second, okay? When the AIDS crisis first started, nobody knew it existed. So in a way, the first eight episodes, we don't really know what we're watching. And then we find out and we're told, hey, this is what you're watching. Well, that's kind of true to life. Nobody had any idea what was going on until somebody finally diagnosed it and said, hey, this is a new disease. This is a new virus, you know, and that's kind of exactly what we saw. You know, it was what's going on. Oh, you know, same with in the real life.
Yeah.
Why are all these people dying? Oh.
Yeah. I mean, and we knew it was going there, we knew, okay, so they have the lesions. We know it's HIV. Just like where it was going, they threw in all of this, like, Sandra Bernhardt with her conspiracy theories. Look, that people were legit saying that back then, that, you know, the government created it. People still say that. Like,
people
I think
still believe that.
People still
believe
that the government created it or whatever, and, like, that's a real thing that people think about or whatever. It's crazy town, whatever, but... And so while I was waiting for Sandra Bernhardt to her storyline to, she really just represented like a line of thought maybe that people were making then. I don't know. It was pretty brutal. It was a pretty brutal finale, huh? And so now I get like when the show was being promoted and they talked about it as being not like any other episode ever. I was like, it was going to be the scariest one ever.
Well, yeah, it definitely was.
Yeah, right? Yeah, just not in the way we expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, ugh. All right, I hope we can go back to some good old-fashioned demons and hauntings next year.
You don't like demons.
I know I don't. I know, but I like, you know what I like less than demons? HIV.
Yeah. Hey, if American Horror Story goes for another 10, 20 years, maybe he'll do a season on COVID.
Yeah,
bad joke. Can't compare the two. That was a bad joke.
Bad joke.
Bad joke.
Hmm. All right, so that wraps us up for tonight, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so we might have a kind of a short show next week with
Well,
Walking
we're gonna.
Dead
we won't have. All right, no Walking Dead, no HS. So, all right. So right now we have Peripheral, Manifest, Andor, and we're gonna all watch the Guardians special.
Right, and maybe some Black Panther discussion.
Yes, and you're gonna see. And you're gonna see. There you go. We filled it back up because you're gonna see that almost 3-hour movie.
Yep. All right. So we'll have a full enough schedule next week. Great.
One last thought on AHS. I was going to say this a minute ago. I forgot. It's funny. After I watched the two episodes, it's funny because like I watched like the first half of the episode 9, and then I finished episode 9, and I was like, do I want to wait and finish? I was like, you know what? I'm going through. I gotta see what the hell's going on here. I gotta finish this. And I almost texted you to tell you that you need to pick a nice time where you have, you know, like a 2-hour window where you can just watch the episode back to back. Because I know that once I got done with episode 9, I was like, I've got to keep going because I need to see how this all ends.
So that's what happened to me. I watched them and I turned the first episode on at like 11 o'clock at night. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll watch one and then I'll watch the other one tomorrow. And then when I watched it, I was like, what? I'm watching. And I ended up watching them both.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I should have texted
which
you.
You really have to. You really have to.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So, all right. All right, well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Another successful podcast. Everybody enjoy their turkey day on Thursday or whatever it is you eat or celebrate.
Cooking? Are you making a cake, AJ? I know you're like a bit of a baker.
No cake, but I am cooking Thursday. We got our bird and our potatoes and whatever the hell
you're cooking? You going to cook the turkey?
Yep.
Your wife is not the cook of the house.
Oh, Alyssa Cook's, Alyssa Cook's funny, but
yeah.
Alyssa Cook's funny. I'm always the Thanksgiving cook.
Oh, and I don't mean that as any kind of a judgment. I'm not cooking. We're going to my brother's house, and I'm making deviled eggs is my contribution to the party.
I love deviled eggs.
You know, aren't they? Who doesn't, right? I get to bring the one thing that pretty much every single person will eat. So that's my contribution is deviled eggs. So, all right, well, good luck with your bird. I hope it comes out great.
Me too. All right.
Have a good day with the fam. Have a good day, listeners. Everybody out there in podcast land, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Everybody enjoy, and come back and listen to us babble some more next week. Thank you, everybody, and good night.
Good night.